Bad company ruins good morals. One bad apple, that's all it takes, and it can ruin the whole bunch. Be careful with the company you keep, Paul says, because they're going to pull you down. They're going to suck you into this vacuum, into this bottomless grave. They'll be the death of you. You want to know about that apple? Got it at Safeway yesterday. Went in there and I said, I need a bad apple for my children's sermon. He said, well, I'll have to ask the manager. I don't think we can give away bad fruit. I said, well, then I'll buy it. Well, maybe you can buy it. They were going to let me buy it. The manager said, as long as you pay for it. I said, I can't have it for free. I can't borrow it and return it for your compost pile. He said, no, you got to pay for it. So I go up to the checkout counter, and this gal, she sees it. And she says, oh, no, you don't want this one. She said, you go back and get a decent apple. I said, no, I need a bad apple for my children's message. And she said, oh, man, this is terrible. This is gross. You don't want this one. And I said, well, they said, I got to pay for it. I got to pay for a bad apple, huh? And we all pay for the bad apples in our midst, don't we? Eventually. That's what Paul's saying to the Galatians. So she finally looked at me and she said, it was going to be 90 cents for that thing. She said, I'm not going to charge you. She said, we don't sell bad fruit. I said, thank you very much. You see, you can be in the midst of a bad apple, and you can still do the right thing. Huh? You can be in the midst of a bad apple, that ethylene contaminant, and you can still be the righteous child of God. The whole law, Paul says, is summed up in one commandment. You will love your neighbor as yourself. The way God loves the world, the way God loves you, is the way we love the world. In the name of Jesus Christ, crucified and risen for the salvation of the world. In Him we are free indeed. On this 4th of July weekend, as everyone is celebrating their independence, that's just another word for leaven or for sin, you know. We are celebrating our interdependence, our dependency upon God and the grace of Jesus, and how we then live in community with that one law, the law of love, loving the way God loves the world and loving one another the way Christ loves us. Freedom. For freedom Christ has set you free. Stand fast, therefore, Paul says, and don't submit again to another yoke of slavery. Freely, freely you have received. Freely, freely give. Go in my name, and because you believe, others will know that I live. Freedom isn't free. Someone has to pay the price. Make me a captive, Lord, and then I shall be free. Are you for freedom? Against freedom? And how would you define or describe freedom to someone? To a friend, to a stranger. I read a story the other day. It takes place in northern India. There was a bazaar, and the farmers and the merchants brought their goods, and they were trading, bartering, and they were selling what they had. And one farmer, he brought in a covey of quails, and he had trained them to do a little trick. He wanted to sell them to some buyer. They each had a little string attached to one of their little legs. And then the other end of the string was to this circular ring that was around a stick that was put in the ground. And you know what that covey of quail was trained to do? They were trained to go around and around and around in a circle. They were just kind of walking around together in a circle. Kind of like mules at a sugarcane mill, you know? But no one was buying. No one wanted this covey of quails for dinner. No one wanted it for entertainment. And then there was a Brahmin. A Brahmin, a religious leader in the Hindu faith. The Hindu faith has a deep respect for all of creation and for animals and birds and people. And so the Brahmin comes up and he says, how much you want for that covey of quail? And a price was agreed upon, and he purchased it. And then the farmer said, you want me to kill these birds so you can have them for dinner? And the Brahmin said, no, I want you to set them free. Cut that fettering off. Set them free. Let them go. And the farmer was looking like, are you crazy? The Brahmin said, I purchased them. I redeemed them. Set them free. So he cut off the little string that was attached to each of the legs of those little quail. But you know what they did after they were disconnected? They kept huddling together and going around and around and around in that same circle. The farmer finally had to shoo them, and then they landed a little distance away. And you know what they did over there? They formed a circle and they started marching around again. They were unfettered. They were redeemed. But they continued to live under the shackles of slavery. St. Paul writes to the church in Galatia, for freedom. There's a reason why Jesus died on the cross for you. For freedom. Christ has set you free. Stand fast, firm. Dig in your heels. That's what Paul's doing in Galatia. He won't compromise when it comes to the gospel. He won't retract. He won't go back. He won't bend. Because there's no other gospel. It's not Jesus plus something. It's not Jesus minus something. It's not subtraction or addendums. It's Jesus plus nothing equals everything. And if you subtract anything from Jesus, you get nothing. That's the gospel. And Paul says there is no other gospel. And the gospel is all about the freedom that God has given us in the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Last week, you remember, Paul talked about how it is that we got justified through the faith of Jesus. We got clothed, so to speak, in the washing of regeneration. It was in baptism, Paul said, that we got, well, that God put Jesus on us. We got new clothes. We got dressed in the love of Jesus. And so none of those other distinctions matter when it comes to salvation or redemption. It doesn't matter if you're rich or poor, if you got an eighth grade education or a PhD. It doesn't matter if you're Jew or Gentile, even if you're slave or free, the boss or an employee. It doesn't matter if you're male or female. None of that matters when it comes to salvation. And then Paul will use that amazing, wonderful metaphor. You are all sons of God, because only a son can inherit and be an heir. And you are all the bride of Jesus. A male and a female metaphor. It doesn't matter, male and female. You don't have to be a particular class or gender or anything to inherit the free gift of God, the amazing grace of God, which is redemption and salvation. Now, that shouldn't surprise us. Do you remember how Paul begins his letter to the church at Galatia? This epistle to which Luther said is my Katie von Bora, my epistle to which I am betrothed. He begins it with the opening salutation and blessing. Chapter 1, verses 4 through 5. We use it for our opening greeting every Sunday now as we're going through Paul's letter to the Galatians. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to set us free from the present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen! Amen! Did you hear it? It's grace and peace for you. Why would you want to go back into slavery? Why would you want to keep marching around like you're still attached to that central ring with that covey of quail? Paul says it's nonsense. It doesn't make any sense at all. Or what Jesus says in John chapter 8. Because since the Son has set you free, you're free indeed. We've never been slaves to anybody. We're children of Abraham. And Jesus says, anybody who is a slave to sin is a slave forever. It's only through the Son that we can have the fetters of sin canceled, the spell that's been cast upon us erased, removed, the curse The curse of our sin that brings death is removed only on the cross when Jesus bears our curse on our behalf. In the fullness of time, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman, Paul says, born under the law to redeem us under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons of God, the bride of Jesus, male and female, clothed, so to speak, because God has put Jesus on you. You are wrapped up from beginning to end. It's the work of the Holy Spirit with the love of Jesus. Not spoiled to death, not spoiled rotten, but spoiled with the love of Jesus, spoiled righteous because of the new garments of grace that God has placed upon you. Why would you want to go back to the way things were? For freedom. I mean, you're for freedom, right? Years ago, I asked my confirmation kids. I said, give me a definition of freedom. You know what they said, right? Good Americans. They said, it means I can do anything I want. I can do as I please, whenever, however I want. I said, that's freedom? That sounds like a recipe for chaos. Everybody doing what's right in their own mind, autonomous selves, crying out loud. That sounds like captivity and bondage. That sounds like the wages of sin is death. That's not freedom. I said, go to the Bible. You know what the Bible says freedom is? Freedom is not doing as I please. Freedom is doing as God pleases. What is it that makes God happy? What is it that pleases God? And as I live in God's will, then I experience real freedom. The truth of the gospel, Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. That's freedom. Everything else is just an illusion, a lie. For freedom, Christ has set you free. Stand fast, therefore. Make me a captive, Lord. Then I will be free. Slaves to one another out of reverence for Jesus. My son-in-law, Matt, my daughter, Jenna, our youngest granddaughter, little Scarlett, they left Nora with Grandma. And then they were headed over to Leavenworth for a wedding. But you know how it can be when you've got little kids. You get a late start. So you got to make up some time, right? Because you don't want to be late for the wedding, right? So how do you make up time? You break the law. You disregard the law. You say, the law doesn't matter for me. I'm a libertine. I'm a lawless creature, huh? I can do as I please. Because the goal, well, the goal justifies the means, I suppose. Or at least the means are justified by my worthy goal. Well, you know what happened? There was one of those patrol officers, you know, that are out there on their motorcycles. He goes, puts the little flasher thing on, pulls Matt over. And then Matt proceeds to tell that, well, we got a late start. This is our little one here. We left the other one with Grandma, and we're headed to a wedding in Leavenworth, and we got a late start, and we're going to be late. We're going to miss the wedding. And the patrol officer, he says, slow down. If you're late for the wedding, you're late. He said, you know how fast you were going? Matt says, well, you know, maybe 45, 50, 35 mile an hour speed limit, speed zone. He said, well, I clocked it 49, he said, but you were going faster than that. Trying to make up time, huh? He said, I could give you a ticket. That's the law. $200. But I'm going to let you off with a warning. You know what the last thing was that patrol officer said? Slow down. If you're late for the wedding, you're late. You see, for freedom, Christ has set you free. Stand fast, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. Make me a captive, Lord, and then I will be free. Senator John McCain, prisoner of war, North Vietnam, 5.5 years. One of the guys he was in the prisoner of war camp with was a man by the name of Mike Christian, a lieutenant commander. And Mike Christian found little scraps of white material and red material. You know the story. It's a true story. He sewed it. He found some little thread and he was able to sew it inside his blue pajama top. And every night they would take that off and they would hold it over to the side. And all those men who were being held hostage, John McCain and the others, 5.5 years, in brutal condition, they would say the Pledge of Allegiance, one nation under God, with liberty and justification through the death and resurrection of Jesus, huh? That's what real justice is. For all, And one night, the guards caught them doing that. You know that old phrase, there'll be hell to pay? My Christian was beaten brutally. We'll teach you to defy us. Later that same night, you know what Mike Christian was doing? Finding some more little scraps of material, red and white, and sewing it and making another American flag. Don't let anyone take your freedom away. And now that Christ has set you free, don't be like those foolish Galatians who have become bewitched. A spell cast over them, where all of a sudden the rental car has been returned and they're starting to back it back over those spikes, and it's only going to ruin everything, especially the tires. Why would you want to take the gospel, the pure gospel, the true gospel of Jesus Christ, and then surrender it for a cheap substitute that isn't any good news at all? That's what the Galatians were doing. Because of these agitators, because of these false teachers, because of these Judaizers that didn't care anything about the salvation of God's people, all they were concerned about is one more, pardon my French, foreskin. They were just kind of creating a little trophy thing around their belt. They didn't care about their salvation, and they were adding the law, legalism. That's what it was. It wasn't even the good law, the revelation of God's love and will. They were adding legalism to the grace, the costly grace of Jesus Christ. And that's not good news at all. Paul, I love what he does in Galatians 4, the story that you heard from Genesis, and in Galatians 4 today in the readings. Hagar, Sarah, you remember that story. What Paul is doing is he says, I'm going to tell you an allegory. He said, you want to go to the law? Then let's go back to the law. Because the promise came 430 years before the law was given on Mount Sinai. And let's go back to Genesis. And when we go back to Genesis, what do we discover? Abraham had how many sons? Two sons. And one was born through human initiative, through disregard of the will of God, with a slave girl by the name of Hagar. His name was Ishmael. And one was born to a free woman. Her name was Sarah. 90 years old. Abraham was 100. It was entirely, completely, 100% the grace of God. It was nothing that she did. She didn't contribute nothing to it. So, Abraham had two sons. One born of a slave woman, one born of a free woman. The son Isaac, the child of promise, through whom the descendants of Abraham and Sarah are named. We, Paul said, have become children of Abraham and Sarah through baptism, clothed, so to speak, in the righteousness of Jesus. We are adopted into the family of God. The bride of Jesus, the Son of God, you see? You want to go to the law? Even the law, Genesis, the Torah, Genesis through Deuteronomy, it says the same thing. It's the promise that saves us. It's not our self-performance. It's God's performance. It's grace. Always grace. For freedom Christ has set you free. Stand fast, therefore, and do not submit again to another yoke of slavery. And then Paul will use a bunch of illustrations. I love what he does. I mean, if you heard it, he jumps from the racetrack to the courtroom to the kitchen. Roger liked that, the kitchen, the leaven thing, you know, right? And then he's back in the courtroom. And then he's on the cross, because it's all about the cross and what Jesus has done for your sins, setting you free from death. And then he ends with the surgical wing of the hospital. He says, you were running so well. Jesus carried you across the finish line, right? To the winner goes the spoils. He gave you the treasure of his love, eternal salvation, forgiveness of sin. And then somebody comes and says, well, you know, you've still got to go around the track a few more times on your own. And they start doing that. You go, the race is over. What are you doing? Oh, but I got to finish this. I got to do something. You crazy? I mean, Paul says, you foolish Galatian. Who has bewitched you? And then all of a sudden he's in the courtroom and he says, all the testimony has been given. Jesus Christ died for your sins. And now you're going to listen to this trumped up crap? And then all of a sudden he's in the kitchen. He says, you know what happens? One bad apple, ethylene. It doesn't take much. You know, one germ. You can have everybody working in the kitchen with Roger, and one person says, I am free. I don't need to wash my hands. I don't have to worry about germs. One person can contaminate all the good that everybody is doing. Right, Roger? Right? A little leaven leavens the whole lump. One bad apple spoils the whole bunch. And then he's back in the courtroom, and he says, look at the cross. Christ bore your curse on the cross. And then he's so frustrated, he says, you know what? I'm going to have to do something to actually shock these people. Shock them straight so they come back to their senses. And he says, you know what I wish? These people that are out there so busy collecting foreskins for their own pride, I wish that when they're in the surgical wing of the hospital, they'd let that knife slip and they would castrate themselves. Then they couldn't, get this, propagate their false teachings anymore. Then they couldn't have any more offspring of their silliness. Circumcision, uncircumcision, male, female, rich, poor, young, old, Gentile, Jew. I mean, none of that stuff matters. All that matters is Jesus Christ. Jesus plus nothing equals everything. Sometimes it takes us a while to figure out what that means. The whole law is summed up in one word. One commandment, love your neighbor as yourself. You will. It's a promise. One law. Free from the law, now for the law. Not so that the law can save us, but now we go to the law, to the scriptures, to find out what the will of God is. Freedom, doing what pleases God. Marian Preminger was born in Hungary, 1913. Raised in a castle, aristocratic family. Marian Preminger had tutors and governesses, and there were chauffeurs and there was butlers, and she was raised like a princess. She was boiled rotten. At the age of 18, she was in Vienna. She met a doctor, fell in love. They eloped, got married. It lasted less than a year. And she's back home again and decided to pursue her career in acting as an actress. And then she met Otto Preminger, an outstanding, brilliant German film director. Married him. They traveled to Hollywood, California. But in Hollywood, it can be a seedbed of death. And people can do all kinds of sick stuff. And so she started getting involved with promiscuity and cheating on her husband and doing all kinds of earthly, fleshly stuff. Because she was free, you know. And when he found out about it, Otto divorced her. She went back and lived as a socialite in Paris. It was 1948. She heard that Dr. Albert Schweitzer was in the area. She made an appointment with his secretary to visit with him while he was there. He was in a small village. He was at an organ, and he was playing a hymn. She went in and listened to him playing. He was there from Africa, from the mission field. And then she went and she turned the pages for him. And then he invited her to dinner. And during the remaining days that he was there, she spent every day with him. She said, what I have been looking for my whole life, I've finally found. Meaning. Whoever saves their life loses it. Whoever loses their life for Jesus' sake finds it. And so when it came time for Dr. Albert Schweitzer to go back to Africa, he asked Marian to go with. And Marian Preminger went with. And this girl that had been spoiled and raised in the lap of luxury and in a castle like a princess, she was bathing dirty infants and feeding lepers and changing soiled bandages and caring for the poor. She wrote a biography in don't remember the year now, but she wrote a biography, and her biography is called All I Ever Wanted Was Everything. All I Ever Wanted Was Everything. And when she died in 1979, in her obituary, she quoted a verse, if you will, from her autobiography, which was from Albert Schweitzer. Dr. Albert Schweitzer said there's two kinds of people, the helpers and the non-helpers. She said, in Christ, I'm a helper. in Christ, I'm a helper. For freedom, Christ has set you free. Free to be ripened with the love of Jesus, to be spoiled righteous with the love of Jesus. Jesus plus nothing equals everything. There is no other gospel.